Italian, there's no way I'd only speak for 20 minutes. Hello and good morning, River Valley. I have to say, every time I come to this church, I feel happy. You make me happy. So, also, while I was getting ready today, I realized I think I wear red every single time I come here. And I was like, you know what? One of my mottos in life is that life is too short to not wear red. And so, you know, over the summers, I had read somewhere that, like, when you hit 40, you need to stop wearing red lipstick. So I did for the summer. And people in the prayer room in IHOP KC started coming up to me and saying, are you sick? Like, what happened to your signature color? So life is too short to not wear red, people. So I have, before I get started, I do have a newsletter list that I'll just pass around. If you want to be on my newsletter list, either email or mailed letter, and hear just some stories of what God is doing and how you can pray for me, just put your information on there. And maybe you should wait till you hear what I have to say and then decide if you want to hear from me again, but there it is. So you could pass that around. So I was here about a year ago, last November. I usually come around Thanksgiving, spend time with my parents who are in the crowd. And yes, mom and papa, thank you for being here. And I shared a message called The Fire of Delayed Answers. And it was about, if you weren't here or you don't remember, it was just about when you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray 3 months, 3 years, 30 years, and the Lord delays in the answer. And in the course of that, I said, you know, I get it. Usually when I speak here, I kind of rip my heart open and bleed and let you into it. I said, you know, I get it. I've been wanting to be married and have a family since I was a little girl. It's what I always wanted. And I said, you know, I'm 40 and single. Well, I got married. 1 year later, a little over a year later. So formerly Olga Calvo, now Olga Calvo Tergolino. So we kept the Italian trend. So I just share that to hopefully encourage someone. Look what God can do in just 1 year. There's a suddenly, you know, where we've been praying, and then suddenly, look what he can do. So let's pray, and then I'll jump in. So Lord, thank you for River Valley and the beautiful, beloved people who are here, who are part of this family. Lord, I thank you for the honor to be here with them. Thank you for Pastor Mark and Missy and their family and their hospitality and their kindness, their leadership here. Lord, I ask that you would do whatever you want to do. If it's just me up here, it's not worth too much, but I ask you to come and move and switch things around, whatever you want, Lord. I pray that we would all hear what you have to say and encourage us, Lord, and lead us. Your leadership really is perfect. So I offer this time to you that you would be glorified in our midst. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wanted to share a little bit today about hearing his voice and following his leadership. It can kind of be, you know, I don't know, I don't really have a title other than maybe things I learned along the way in the last 10 years in IHOP KC, at IHOP KC. I think it's a time, perhaps, I mean, it's always been important to hear the voice of the Lord, but perhaps more than ever, just to hear his voice and his leading. And also a time in which, after COVID, I'm sure some of you have heard, I mean, the world around us, depression has skyrocketed, anxiety has skyrocketed. If you call a therapist, they're booked. You know, there's, you know, months and months and months of wait list. So people are hurting. So how can we hear his voice, not only for ourselves, but for a lost and dying world, and be that light, like we were hearing Pastor talk about and some of the songs we sang. So I'm going to share, not really a preaching, but a teaching on hearing his voice and following him. And I'll share some stories along the way of, you know, how this applied in my own life, and because usually we remember stories the most, right? So if anything, you're going to remember I said something about red and some of the stories, right? But if you want to take notes, this would be a day to take notes, because I'll hit actually some practical points. I want you to walk away with, you know what, this is something that I could start practicing today, you know, 1, 2, 3. You know, whether that's a piece of paper, if you need a piece of paper, I don't know, if we have any scratch paper, or if you want to take notes on your phone, just promise you're not texting, because that's so discouraging to a preacher. So anyway, I want to be someone who doesn't have any hindrance in my heart to be fruitful for the Lord. You know, I want to be able to hear his voice, not have the traffic get in the way. I want spirit-led evangelism. You know, I want to be able to hear his voice for the person next to me in the grocery store and know, you know, what is that key to that person's heart? He knows. He made them. He knows what they're going through. And so how many of you know you can do evangelism or reaching out in a religious way? You know, we see that, you know, you can see that perhaps Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, they have a template, you know, but I want to do it different. I mean, the Lord can use anything, and he will, right? But I want to do it in a way where I hear him, follow him. It's so much easier that way. So much easier not to do things in my own strength, and it's actually fruitful rather than unfruitful. I don't want to have a technique that I just use over and over and over. I want to see the person and stop for the one. So the thing is that biblically, what I see is that God wants us to do works from a place of intimacy, not a template. Always from this place of being with him and then going. And so he's not going to give us a cookie cutter template and have you run with it without him. Because I don't know about you, but I have that tendency. I can just rely on my own strength, my own abilities, my own smarts, whatever it is. And then I'm like, okay, I got it. I got the template. Now I'm going. But he doesn't want that. He wants me to lean. He wants me to depend. He wants me to be led by him. And so when I do the works of God, I need God. That sounds so simple, right? But you can do the works. You know, I could sing to him out of my own strength. I can share something. I can be up here speaking out of my own strength, instead of on him. But he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing worthwhile anyway. And so dependence on him. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And I like to think of that. I know I'm weak. You know, that's like, blessed are you when you know you're weak and you need God. It honors him to invite him into everything that we do. So I'm not going to give you tactics or techniques, but I'm going to give you some tips and maybe provoke you to step out in that, to listen a little more. And this is for my own heart. I feel like COVID made a lot of us go inwards or isolate, you know, introspect, rather than be out and bold and zealous in him. So to begin to do ministry like Jesus did, if you look at the scripture, looks like he did it different every time, right? So one time, you know, he spits in the mud, and then, you know, can you imagine if I came up and spit in your eye? And I said, God told me to do it, right? But, you know, it was. The Lord told him to spit in the mud, put it on the man's eyes, right? Another time, you know, I was just thinking, that would probably be socially awkward, right? But also, it was probably socially awkward at the time if Jesus did that, you know, when Jesus did that. So another time, he would pray for someone and lay hands on them. Another time, he wouldn't touch them. Sometimes, it was from afar that he prayed, not even in front of the person. One time, he prayed for someone just before they died. Another time, he waited till they died. Right? So what's the pattern? There is no pattern. There's one pattern, actually. One pattern. He would go up to the mountain, and he would pray, and he would be with his father. And who knows, maybe that's where then he's praying and he sees the woman at the well and then he follows the Lord's lead. I don't know, you know, but all I know is the pattern is intimacy with him, and then from that place we go, going and listening for what he has to say for the people around us, for our own lives. So no pattern. The only pattern is to be with the Father. And so, you know, religious evangelism, like I was saying, doesn't really bear fruit. I mean, what are we converting them into? Religion? You know? I want to have someone know him and depend on him and hear his voice and love him. That's what I want. Alex is taking the picture for next year, so here we go. I'm just kidding. I see him up there. So here is some of the tips. If I were to say, here's 1, 2, 3 of things we could start asking the Father. When you come away with him, question number one, you can ask, God, where do you want me to go? I think there's a biblical pattern for that. We see that with Jesus. We see that with the apostles. God, where do you want me to go? Where are you already working? You know, even if you just start using that in your life, you might ask God, you know, God, where do you want me to go? I don't know, to the grocery store. You might hear something, you might not. But if you hear a nudge, what if we were to go for it? And so, you know, we inquire of the Lord, great, if we hear something. If you don't, then go where your heart wants to go. Go to Stop and Shop. We have Stop and Shop and whatever. You know, there it's Price Shopper. God will use it either way. So one, where do you want me to go? Number two, you can ask, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? So, you know, it could be I'm going into a restaurant and you can seat yourself. Well, Lord, what if we were to pause and just say, Lord, where do you want me to sit? Just a quick, you know, you might get an impression, you might not. Where do you want me to sit? Father, seat me wherever you want me to. You know, you might take a walk to the bathroom and scan the restaurant. And just see, you know, is there anyone that you're highlighting? And I'll talk a little bit more about what does it mean to get a highlight? What does it mean to get a nudge? I hear this, you know, this language, but what does that mean? I'll share some of the little tips I've noticed, you know, things that have helped along the way. So the more that you do this, the more you ask, the more you'll hear. The more you stop to listen and pause, I can tend to go on autopilot. You know, oh, I like to sit there. You know, how many of you sat where you usually always sit in church today? Everybody, probably including me, right? The one time I come here. You know, but what if we were to ask, Lord, where should I sit today? You know? And the more you do this, the more you'll have divine appointments. I guarantee it. I'll share some stories like that. I'll share some stories about how I bumble through doing it, and God uses it, you know? So the harvest is truly plentiful, and doing this is so life-giving. It's so exciting to do this with Jesus. It really is. God is always working. So number one is what? Number two. Number three. Now what do I say? Right? Okay, great. Okay, the guy in red. Now what do I do? Of course it's red. What do I say? It's really important to ask that of the Lord. I'd rather it be organic and anointed. So, Lord, what is it that you want me to say? Sometimes I ask, Lord, would you give me one question? You know, would you give me just one key for this person? You know, I might be one conversation away from a relationship, you know, one conversation away from someone having a relationship with Jesus. And I'll give you an example of this. So I was in New York City. It was evening. I was actually on an outreach there for a week, but it was my day off. And I was going to go meet a friend for dinner who lives in the city. And so I was walking, it was nighttime, and it was like, I don't really super know my way around New York. So I end up in a street that's not very busy. There wasn't a ton of people on it. And I'm walking, you know, kind of following my GPS as to where the restaurant is, walking directions. And this man starts walking alongside me, and he's trying to sell, you know, hustle and sell me something in his coat. I don't know. And, you know, I, like, start walking faster. I'm like, no, 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 thank you. And he's, like, walking, and, like, we're getting towards an area where there aren't other people. And so I'm getting nervous. And I had read somewhere that like if you talk to someone who's about to kill you and you start telling them about your life, they won't kill you, something like that. And so I'm like, I'm gonna be friendly and start talking to him. And so I start talking to him, and he's like, and I'm walking faster, and he's walking faster, and I'm like, oh no. And so I start talking to him, and I said, where are you from? And he said, Senegal. And I said, oh, well, are you Muslim? Because I had, you know, I knew that there was a large population of Muslim Senegalese. And so he said, yes. And then he starts to like aggressively reverse evangelize me. So he is like, you know, like he's agitated and he's still running with me and there's no one around, okay? And he's saying, you know, Jesus isn't the Son of God. You know, he didn't really die on the cross. He's just aggressive. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I think I had tried to interject a few times. He would cut me off, just very, getting more and more agitated. And I said, Lord, give me something to say. Like, what do I do? And the Lord gave me a question. And had I second-guessed it, I wouldn't have asked it because it made no sense. But I stopped, and the man stopped, and I said, how do you know that what you're saying is true? And he looked at me, and he kind of stops and stunned. And I kid you not, he says, I don't know, maybe it's not. What? And so I said to him, what if right now, right here, we pray to the creator of the universe, who I believe is Jesus, that he would show you the truth? And he said, okay. And I grabbed his hand and I prayed. And then I ran off and he stayed there, stunned. You know, can you believe it? Like, I would never have thought of that question, lest the Holy Spirit had said, no, there's something there. I know that you don't, Olga. You see an aggressive Muslim in a dark alley. I see a man who has questions. And it took that arrow. So what do I say? Just listen. It might be something really off in your own rationality, but God knows. And then you pray for that seed. You pray for that Muslim man, even now, Lord, wherever he is, that he would be saved in Jesus' name. If he hasn't already, in Jesus' name. So where do I go? Who do I talk to? What do I say? So you might be in a place and you're saying, okay, well, how do I know that God is highlighting a certain person to me? How do I know that, you know, at my workplace, it's that guy? How do I know, God, where you're already working? I'll give you just a little tips I've recognized over the years. Number one, they talk to me first. I know this is so deep, but I'm in a public place. Someone randomly comes up and talks to me. I start to ask God, okay, God, are they being drawn to me? The light in me, you know, why did they come to me? You know, and it might be that the Lord is opening a door. So, you know, I'm a Christian. I have the light. I am a messenger. So if someone comes and speaks to me, perhaps I need to relay the message. Perhaps I'm asking the Lord, you know, I'm dialoguing with the Lord while I'm speaking to this person. Most people in this world, and I would say New England, I notice this, they're avoiding eye contact or conversation. They're real busy. You know, so if someone actually makes eye contact with you and they actually say something to you, just ask the Lord. That's not usual here. So I'll give you another story about this concept, you know, them talking to me first. It's super easy for us to get closed in, me included. Even though I'm extroverted and Italian and all those things, you know, I was at the airport and I was cranky. Anyone else get cranky? Is it just the Italians? Okay. So I was a little cranky. I think it was early in the morning. And I was sitting down, and this woman sat in front of me, and she was dressed all in black. She had, like, bright fuchsia hair, and she had, like, tattoos all down her arms. I have nothing against tattoos. I'm just describing. But it was tattoos of, like, Egyptian gods all over her arms. She had combat boots on. She had skulls everywhere. And so I just noticed, you know, she sat down. And first she sits down, and I'm like, Lord, are you wanting me to talk to her? Because, like, I'm cranky. Well, you know, this concept of if they talk to me first is, you know, always kind of in my mind. And so
wouldn't you know, lady starts talking to me. And I'm like, oh, but, you know, I have all the buts, you know, oh, but I'm not feeling so great, and I'm a little nervous, she's intimidating, you know. And so I said to the Lord, Lord, if she's sitting next to me on the airplane, then I'll tell her about Jesus. That's what I said, okay? I'm just being very honest about, I'm not saying do this, okay? I'm saying that's wrong, don't do this, but I'm being vulnerable, okay? But that's what I said. I was like, real cranky, can't break through the crankiness right now. If she's on the plane, then I'll talk to her about Jesus. So right then, they call first class, and she gets up, and she goes onto the plane. I was like, oh, well, there you go. Wasn't supposed to talk to her, you know? So then they call me, economy class, after a while. I get up, I go into the plane, and guess who has the assigned seat next to me? The lady. Yeah. And I was not in first class. I don't know what happened there. You know, I don't know if she snuck in, you know, during first class. So as soon as I sat down, I was like, Lord, I'm sorry for any, you know, resistance and I don't want to be disobedient. So I immediately turned to her and I started talking to her. I said, listen, this might sound really crazy, but I was actually praying for you in the airport when you sat in front of me. I really feel like God seated us together and that we need to talk about Jesus. And she was a radio personality, and she tells me this story right off the bat. She listens and she said, I believe what you're saying is true because my mother was a rock star. And when I was a teenager, I got pregnant. And my mother signed me up for an abortion. But the night before my abortion, I had a dream. And in the dream, there was one girl after another getting on it was like a steel room and a steel table. And it would be like the surgeon, the doctor would perform the abortion. Next, next, next. And when it came to be my turn, I looked at the table and it was covered in blood. And I looked at the doctor and I said, aren't you going to clean that up? And he said to me, no, it doesn't matter anyway. And I woke up and I told my mom, I am not getting an abortion. So my mother sent me to a Christian boarding school. And there I had, you know, my pregnancy. My son was born premature. And he was going to die because his lungs weren't, you know, formed. And so my Christian boarding school held a vigil night and day. They prayed 24 hours, and my son was healed. My mother became a believer. She's been a Baptist and been praying for me for 20 years, she said. So I believe what you're saying is true. Furthermore, she said to me, 2 weeks ago, I had another dream. Jesus came to me flying on a mattress, and he said, I won't say her name, but he said her name, and he said, it's going to be okay. And I woke up. What? And so we talked about the Lord for the, you know, the whole plane ride. I pray for her, you know. So just to give you an example of someone talking to me first, and then had I disobeyed again, the Lord was so gracious to me, so merciful that he gave me another shot. But what if I hadn't taken that? What if I had sat down and just gone to sleep or been too afraid, you know? So even now, we lift her up, God. And her son, she named him Christian, which I thought was cool. So how do you know if someone's highlight to you? They might be the one to talk to you. You have the light. They're being drawn, perhaps, to you. There's something about you. Another one is lingering, repeated, or significant eye contact. I have a friend who's an evangelist, and if someone looks at him, he says in his mind, bro, if you look at me one more time, you're going to hear about Jesus. He's a real tough guy, you know. And so, the eyes are the spiritual gateways to the soul, right? Like, you look into someone's eyes, they see something in us. They really do. I was in an airport once, and I went into the plane, and I was seated next to a woman who I started talking to. She was Jewish. And she told me, I've been watching you in the airport. I saw you in the airport. Oh, and guess what? I was cranky again. Okay, I remember. It was an early flight. I was cranky. She said, I saw you in the airport, and I've been watching you because you shine with light, and I couldn't understand why. You know, and I was cranky, but there's someone in us The Holy Spirit of the living God, who's not cranky. He's not dimmed by my crankiness. And people see that in our eyes. And so the Holy Spirit is drawing them to us. You know, so have you ever had someone say, like, they look at you and they do a double take and they say, no, do I know you from somewhere? You know, maybe that's the Lord opening a door. You could, I mean, that's simple. Like, I don't know, where do you go to church? You know, open up a conversation. You know, well, I don't go to church, you know. But if you're in conversation, there's something in us that draws people. It says the Holy Spirit will draw all men to, you know, to Jesus. There's someone in us who's drawing people. And they're being drawn to the Jesus on the inside of you and me. So, again, another story to highlight this about the eye contact. Once again, in the airport. And this guy, he looks at me, and he keeps looking, and I was like, I am not in the mood for any kind of flirting, you know, come-ons, anything. And I go onto the airplane, and I go all the way to the back. I think it was like Southwest, where you can pick your own seating. I go all the way to the back where there's the bathrooms and all the way to the window. And guess who comes onto the plane, goes all the way to the back, and then sits in the middle seat next to me. And I thought, as he's coming, I was like, if this guy sits next to me, he's about to hear about Jesus. He thinks he's trying to pick me up, but. And so he comes, and he sits down, and I immediately just, you know, jump into a conversation. And he was actually a disillusioned Mormon. You know, he had been questioning his faith, was actually quite ready to leave. And so we talked about, you know, about what does it really mean to have a relationship with Jesus? What are some of the things? And my style, I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I don't debate people, you know, generally. I do often say, you know, well, if God is who I think he is, he's big enough to show you, you know, what I've been saying. And so can I pray for you? I ask permission. Can I pray for it? I mean, I'm going to pray for them anyway after they leave. But can I pray for you right now that if he's real and if he's Jesus, then he'll show you himself that what I said is true. Well, the man said yes. So I prayed for him. Now, cool part about that story is when we left and we came off, you know, the airplane, and there was a woman who had been sitting. So I'm the window, locked in. Then there's this guy, and then there's a woman on the other side of him. Well, she waits for me in the airport, and she stops me as soon as I get off the plane, and she's like, I heard what you did. I'm a Christian. And I was so encouraged. And I, you know, I just want that bravery, too, to do, you know, what that. And I was like, oh, like, let's pray for both of us. You know, there's times I get scared. I get intimidated. So let's pray. So I got to pray for her. You know, Lord, give us that boldness. That boldness comes from being with Jesus. That's what it says about the apostles, is that, you know, that they were looked upon and they had boldness, but they recognized that they had been with Jesus. It comes from him, that boldness. Not that I can muster it up. If I muster it up, I can't maintain it. So, okay, they talk to you first, you get eye contact, and that is us operating opposite of our culture. Because our culture is what right now? Do you notice this all the time, head in the cell phone? And that can be a temptation for us too, for me too, you know? You might be tired or depressed or busy. We're so busy here, me included. But to force myself to put the phone down and ask him, and look and see people and see, where are you working, God? Our culture is not looking around, not looking at people, not connecting. I see people, you know, I'm sure you have too, or maybe you've even done it, sitting across the table in a restaurant from someone and you're both on your cell phones, right? We're not connecting. We're acting opposite of culture. We are not on the defense. That's not who we are. You know, we're going to smile. We're going to look at people in the eye. We're going to care. So another thing that you might get, someone talking, repeated eye contact, you might get a witness in the spirit. Now, what does that mean? It could feel different to different people. You know, it might be a little nudge. I'm not saying that I get lightning bolts. I get little impressions. And then, you know, it's an invitation. I can go for it.
You know, you get a little nudge. It might be in your belly. It might be, you know, someone is highlighted a little bit more to you. They might pop out in a crowd. So I might scan a crowd and just someone catches my eye a little more. Again, it might not be a neon sign, but it's just a little more. And so that could be who the Holy Spirit is highlighting. Another thing is you might be walking by and you might hear like a conversation and a piece of it kind of sticks out at you. That might be, you know, the Lord highlighting that person or those people. Something that happens to me sometimes is I'll get a little clip, again, a faint little clip in my mind that's almost like a TV, like a TV screen, a little clip of a film of me going up to that person. It's kind of like I see the invitation of what the Lord wants me to do, and I could choose to do that or not, you know, and hopefully I say yes, because he's not going to leave me hanging. I can guarantee you it's not your flesh running evangelism scenarios. It's not our flesh doing that. And I can guarantee it's not the devil. So if you're getting these things, I would bet that it's the Holy Spirit highlighting. He's the one that's nudging us. He's the one inviting us to partner with him. Another way might be just design of circumstances. Who happens to be sitting next to you, you know? Who happens to be your waitress? Who happens to deliver your pizza? You know, your waitress, okay, maybe you feel like, I feel intimidated and she's busy, I don't want to talk to her. Well, after you give a generous tip, you can write something on the receipt, you know? You can write a prophetic word. You can write whatever the Lord is leading you to say, to share with this person. You know, that's a design of circumstance. Another example of this happening in my life is I was at, guess where? The airport. And there was a woman in front of me with a little boy. And, you know, being aware of some of these concepts, I was engaging with the little boy, smiling at him. And usually when you do that with, you know, the parent smiles too and might talk to you about their kid. But she was not having it. She didn't want anything to do with me. And why are you smiling at my kid? And, you know, she didn't say that, but just the sense. And so I dropped it, you know, you kind of cast a line, the fish didn't bite, you know, it's fine. Well, fast forward a year, and I'm 40 minutes away from this airport at a little smoothie shop in a tiny little Missouri town. And I get in line, and guess who's in front of me with that kid? Is the lady. And I have this thing I'm pretty good with faces and sometimes with names, so I remembered her. And I actually said to her, you know, she's in front of me, and I'm like, wait, I remember you. We were on our way to Florida, and you were in front of me at the airport on such and such date, January of whatever, and I don't believe in coincidences, so I believe that God wants us to talk. You know, what's going on with you? Like, why are we here again? And she said to me, wow, I actually remember you. And she said, you won't believe this. I've been sitting in my car for half an hour weeping because 2 weeks ago, my partner died. And we used to come to this smoothie shop all the time with our son. And I've just haven't had the courage to get in here. And so I looked at her and I said, honey, let's pray. Let me pray for you. She's like, I don't know how I'm going to raise him. You know, she was really, really grieving. And I didn't go at her with, why were you in that kind of relationship? You know, I saw a broken human being, desperate, weeping. And I prayed with her and I held her. And you know what she said to me after that? She said, where do you go to church? You know, there was something about that she saw compassion rather than me hit her over the head with a Bible or a Bible verse. So again, design of circumstance. You know, who's in front of you in line? Who's behind you? Who's around us? Really, I mean, it's like seeing the one, stopping for the one. And I'm preaching to myself because I feel like trials can cause us to go inward. Myself included. And I've been asking the Lord, Lord, do this again in me. Do this more. I want to see people and stop for people. So
You know, you could say, well, okay, great. I know who I'm supposed to talk to, but I'm real nervous about what I'm supposed to say. You know, how do I initiate conversation? I don't even hear God. You know, I hear all these things. So, you know, people don't usually right off let you into their intimate details, especially a stranger. I mean, sometimes there's just like a little manhole and, you know, on that, and that cover gets popped off and people start talking. But generally, people are holding in their brokenness. And it's interesting to listen when we start engaging in conversation with people is what's keeping them from the kingdom? Is it unforgiveness? Is it a wrong understanding of God? Is it that they were hurt by the church? You know, what is it? There's something there keeping them from the kingdom. And for me, I often say, you know, evangelism is the ministry of listening, really. Like, I'm listening, and I'm listening to him, but I'm also listening to them, you know, and I'm not then preaching at them, you know. So being friendly, that's like number one, initiating a conversation. Be friendly, super deep, I know. But let's smile. You know, let's look at people. That's so rare. We have a joy unending in God. And, you know, in this canvas of gray around us, let's be that spot of color. Most people are walking around with low grade to mid grade to severe depression. It's gray. But to be that spot of color, that flash of color. Most people are self-absorbed, thinking about themselves. So when they encounter someone who actually looks like they care, that matters significantly to people. You know, a simple act of kindness. I've had so many people, even up to yesterday, a customer service person said, wow, you are so patient and so nice. I wish other customers were like you. You know, and that's such an in, you know, that's usually where I'm like, well, that's because I love Jesus and love people. You know, just this in where we can be different than this culture. Who of you have been fishing before? Who of you have ever been with someone who's been fishing? I mean, how many of you have watched fishing on TV? No, okay. Someone, you know about fishing though, right? Something about fishing. So casting the line, if we're to be fishers of men, Jesus called us to be fishers of men. He's going to teach us how to do that. And so I like to call it like casting a line. So for those of you who have been fishing or know anything, do you catch a fish every time you cast a line?
No.
But do you catch a fish if you don't cast a line?
No.
Like, do they jump into your boat?
Good.
I find the same. What's that? Sometimes they do? Oh. All right, work with me, people. So the same, I think, is true in reaching out to people. Like, it's very rare that a fish is going to jump into your boat. But if you cast a line, you're going to catch a lot more fish. You know, that reaching out, you know, that simple act of kindness, that simple question, you know, that you might, you know, what does it look like? Hey, what's the score of the game? World Cup? I don't know, you know. I actually don't do well with segueing from, like, small talk. I just go straight for, like, the jugular, you know. I do. I just go straight for it, you know. But another way that you can initiate a conversation is meet a need. Sometimes I've done things like, I call it gift card outreach. And this is great to do with kids. You buy a gift card and you ask, you know, the child and you and both of you, you could say, okay, let's pray and see who Jesus highlights in Starbucks to give this gift card to. And then you can tell them why. I mean, this is a perfect time to do this. Christmas, you know, people are much more open to the spirit of giving, you know, but we can talk about who it is that loves them, who it is who wants them, who, you know, that kind of thing. A friend of mine, he's like, you know, he'll go up to people and say, Jesus wants to buy you lunch, but after that, you'll be hungry again, you know, and then he'll tell them about, I mean, whatever works for you, you know, that's not me. Isn't that so cheesy? It's so funny. I think it's hilarious, you know. Having baggies in your car with, you know, like a little Bible and some toiletries for people who are homeless. And, you know, and that actually is from homeless friends that I have shared that with me. You know, she's like, don't give us money. Give us, you know, give us toiletries, give us socks, but put tracks in there that are large print because most of us can't see well. Our eyes are pretty bad. Give us soft foods. We don't have teeth. You know, she told me to Share that with people. There's grace and kindness. And by the way, Jesus fed people. So, you know, there's something in feeding others. I'm Italian. I love when people are fed and happy, you know. But that might be students on campuses. They're starving, you know. Feed them. And through that love and kindness, you might have an open door to share. Engage people in their love languages. It might be food. But paying for someone's gas and then telling them why. Buying someone's food and then telling them why. You know, it's just this grace where kindness comes in, because most people aren't getting that in a very selfish culture. It causes them to pause and think why. So, what else? Let's see, the direct approach. That's my approach. I can never transition. So, you know, I just ask people, you know, directly, hey, I feel like the Lord highlighted you to me. I know that sounds really weird, but, you know, how can I pray for you? That's a super easy one. You know, how can I be praying for you? So here's one. It's called the 1 minute witness. And you ask someone, can I ask you something? And, you know, you ask permission first. If they say no, then no. And this is after I've been talking to someone. You know, I'll say, hey, can I ask you something? And the question is, what's the best thing that's ever happened to you? And then you listen. And you really listen. You don't listen with a second, you know, kind of an agenda of like, well, I can't wait till they stop talking because I've got it prepared what I'm going to say. You know, just listen and be there, present. And then if they permit you, you could say, you know, can I share the best thing that's ever happened to me? About 99.9% of people will say yes. And then you can share. Just, you know, a quick, like, this is who Jesus is to me. This is what he's done in my life. And then asking them, has anything like that ever happened to you? Have you ever thought about that? Because most people might not have. A story about this is, I was, guess where? And I saw this person, and he was really well-dressed, good-looking guy, noticed him, and then I went into the airplane, and I sat down, and it was actually assigned seating, so it wasn't Southwest. Sat down, and sure enough, the guy gets onto the plane, and he's coming towards me, and I have this sinking feeling like he's going to sit next to me. Like, he was, I'm being honest. Like, have you ever seen someone that's, like, so super good-looking that it's, like, I can't even look at them, you know? It's, like, really, I can't. So, anyway, so he came, and he's, like, about to sit next to me, and just to show you how super brave I am, I pretended to be asleep. And so he comes, and he sat next to me, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I can't believe it. I saw the guy, he was highlighted, now he's sitting next to me, but I'm super nervous. So this is, of course, when I was single, wasn't even dating, but I said, Lord, if he talks to me, even though I'm sleeping, then I'll tell him about Jesus. Well, wouldn't you know, sits down, taps me, hi, I'm Cody. I was like, who does that? Who wakes up a sleeping person, you know, on the airplane? You don't do that. So I did the 1 minute witness with, you know, just started chatting. This is actually a kind of a funny story. He said, I asked what he did, and he was a Chippendale dancer. And I was like, this is a bad joke. I told him, he's like, well, what do you do? I was like, I'm a pastor. So I was like, that's kind of like the start of a bad joke, you know? But I was able to ask him, like, by the way, I told a friend that story, and they're like, he was in a chipmunk mascot costume, and I was like, don't look it up, like, just forget it. But this man, you know, when I said, what's the best thing that ever happened to you, he was talking about the boats and the money and the... And then I was able to say, you know, can I share what's the best thing that ever happened to me? And it was about, you know, going from death to life. And you know what he said? He said, you know, it's so interesting you say that to me, because my photographer is often talking to me about Jesus. Isn't that something? Like, God had placed someone there, and then here I come to water that seed. You know, and here I was intimidated by the exterior, but God knew. And he's so faithful. God
You know, he's such a faithful God. Even the silly little prayers that I pray of, Lord, if he wakes me up, we're almost out of time. So just last, you know, couple of points, ask questions. Ask the Lord for anointed questions. You know, do that ministry of listening. Listen to their hearts. Where's the church hurt? Have they actually never heard the gospel? There are people walking around in the United States of America that have no idea what the gospel is. Literally, my husband, who's very evangelistic in the Brazilian community, told me, do you know that they don't know what the manger scene is about? They don't know why there's a baby in the manger and, you know, animals. They don't know. And so asking, what's the issue that's keeping them? Most of our culture is not interested in listening to people. So for us to be those who listen, it's powerful. And to have authentic love in our hearts that's not agenda-based. People sniff that out, you know? Like, you don't you know, like, when there's, like, that multi-marketing, you start sniffing it when, like, oh, this person's real friendly and real interested in me. When's it coming for me? You know? We're smart. Like, people are smart. They know if you actually care. And so, you know, I like to think of it, when I was teaching evangelism classes, I like to think of it as, like, people are on a continuum, right? So, like, let's say it's from 0 to 10. You know, some people, you might just be moving them from 0 to 1. There's a seed planted. You know, other people, they might be from, you know, a 5 to a 6. I get to water, you know, that. Some, yeah, you'll have the joy of them radically encountering Jesus. You know, they get to a 10 on the continuum. It's God who brings the increase. We just obey. We just obey whatever he's told us to do because we listened. And he's the one who brings the increase. So God will do that, even if the person appears antagonistic. So I had a boss who was, he was the director of evangelism, and he told the story where he was a college student, and he was a philosophy major, super smart guy, and these two little high school girls came up to him and shared the gospel with him. And he shouted at them. He said, the demons in me wanted me to hit these little girls. Like, I almost punched them. And they said, he said, they turned around and they said, okay, we'll pray for you, which made him even more angry. But he said, but what they don't know, and I hope one day I can share with them in heaven, is that that thing ruminated on the inside of me. And then I said to God, fine, God, if you're real, then you need to show me. He opens his eyes. This is like months later, a year later, and the bumper sticker in front of him says, Jesus is real. And he gave his life to the Lord and has led thousands to Jesus. Thousands. And he's like, I can't wait to tell those little girls. But they would never know it by my reaction. I shouted. So I just tell you to encourage. There may be family members who have shouted. There may have been people who you're like, I don't know, I tried. But God brings the increase. So amen. So I, as I was praying before service, I felt like I got a little download just as encouragement to pray for the church. Again, you know, you're always welcome to come up, and I'm happy to pray for anyone for any need. But this was the thing that I felt, you know, to share as I pray and end for you. Right before I came to Connecticut, a friend of mine, I saw her in the prayer room. I hadn't seen her in a couple years, and she said to me, Olga, you know, hi, and she gives me a hug, and I said, you know, did you hear I got married? And she starts crying, you know, and then she said, well, did you hear my son got saved? And I start crying, because the backstory is 2 years ago, we had met for ice cream, sat across the table from each other, and I had shared, you know, that I had this desire for a family, you know, and she had been praying for me. And she shared with me that she was concerned that for her son, who is 20 years old, and she said, you know, I just really feel like he's around the gay community a lot. I have a lot of, you know, concerns about some of the things he's getting into. Would you pray for my son? And so I'd prayed for him for 2 years. And she said, well, what you didn't know is that he slipped into about 10
dark things. He did, you know, go into the gay lifestyle. He went into drugs, suicidality, and 10 other things that if I were to tell you, you know, it's just very scary. And she said he was on his couch 6 weeks ago, all by himself, not seeking God. And suddenly the fear of the Lord came over him, and he felt something ripped off his eyes. And then he felt himself encircled by the love of Jesus. And ever since then, he has been devouring the Word of God. And my friend is a scholar, and she said he will open the Word, getting downloads from the Holy Spirit, and he can talk to me about the book of Ephesians, and he's right, she said. And he's so angry that the enemy has a generation blinded, you know, because there's one who will satisfy, one. But the enemy's saying, look here, look here, look here. Don't look anywhere but there. And he's like, Mom, it's indignant anger that the one we're being pulled away from. So I wanted to share that for those of you who have been persistently praying for someone. Because in a moment, suddenly, Moira's son got saved. Alone and not seeking God, but he has a mama who prays. And he had friends who prayed. You know, I prayed every day for this kid. And so I just want to encourage you with that. And then finally, I felt like this was also for you. I was in a little fast food place a few days ago with my CPA. And we, you know, I talked to him about Jesus all the time. And he actually was telling me, you know, hey, would you pray for my wife? She's, you know, in severe pain. And I said, oh, sure. You know, and I'm talking about the Lord. And a man comes up to us in the middle of our conversation. And he's like, hey, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I couldn't help you talking about God. And I feel like God has one word for both of you. And he says, and it's persistence. And then he turned around and he walked away. And as I was praying before the service, I saw a picture of that man, that one word. I mean, he was probably nervous even coming up to us, you know? He came and he gave that one word. And it's like I saw that word come out as light and come into my hands as a gift. But I want to give that to you too. That persistence pays. And if you don't give in, you really do win. So I'm just going to pray for you, and then, Pastor, you can just take it, and I'm not always good about closing a service, and, you know, I just will pray for whoever wants to pray, you know, me to pray for you, but I just really feel in my heart to pray for those who need that persistence. So pray with me. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the suddenly. You are the God of the impossible. There is nothing too hard for our God. In a moment, that kid said he went from this to this, in a moment, because mama persisted and you win. And so I pray for everyone in this room, Lord, who needed to hear that, that there's no one too far gone, there's no situation too far gone, that in a moment, when you say it's time, it can change completely. I pray, Lord, for those who are in need of persistence, that you would give the grace to carry on, that you would help us not to give in, that you would help us to press on, looking to you, Jesus. You will complete the good work that you started. I pray, Lord, that people would leave this service today encouraged. That God, you are able and faithful, that you are better than I think, you are more for us than we will ever know this side of eternity. So Lord, would you bring hope again? Would you fan the flames of hope in hearts? Would you be the lifter of heads? Would you bring strength and joy in believing? Help our unbelief, God. Persistence pays, you say. Help us to ask and keep on asking, to knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, amen. Wasn't that good, church? You know, as I'm just listening to Olga here and thinking about some things, I've had some conversation with some of you in the last few months, and some things Olga said here. I looked at a couple of you and said, "Hey, did you hear that about fishing?" We talked about fishing with someone recently, and I don't like fishing; it's super boring. But we have some people in the church that like to fish, and I know that these guys say, "Oh, certain times of year, you got to use this kind of bait, and you got to go here." And I'm like, "I ain't got time for this stuff." But it just popped into my head as I was talking to someone that was a little discouraged about how come I can't reach my neighbors and how come I can't reach. And I think David DeMarco, which I don't know if you know David. He's a good friend. David's in here 2 weeks. And David's an evangelist as well. And David's thing, he says, you know, I think part of the thing that we've become so discouraged with in the church is because we feel like we're used car salesmen. You know, like we got to close the deal. What do I got to do? Put you in Jesus today, bro. Like if this person doesn't get radically saved on the spot and on fire and, you know, we failed somehow. And it's like, that's not true. That's not true. Paul plants and Apollos waters. But God gives the increase. Maybe all you did was plant the seed. Maybe all you did was water it. But God knows where every seed is. Amen. And what I share with this person about fishing, I'll be done right here, church, because I was so inspired today. But you know, you can do everything right, get all the right bait, have all the right gear, have the fanciest boat, have the sonar that says there's fish over here and there's fish over there, and you cannot make that fish bite that bait. You can throw it, you can have the bobber on there, right? Whatever you guys do, I ain't going. Just saying. Church, we can do everything right, and it's only the Spirit of God that makes that fish bite, right? So don't be discouraged because you have a call. I know this bunch of these guys go fishing, don't catch nothing. They're like, "I'm going tomorrow." I quit to my golf game, right? I'm like, "I'm going to go play again because I might be good someday," right? So, amen. Let's stand to our feet one more time here. And we're going to pray for Olga. Amen. But, yes, sir.
I just want to interject this confirmation of what Olga's saying, blatant conversation. I worked up at the airport, talking about airport, for 8 years after I retired from the university. You know, 8 years, I worked up at Roncari Express Valet Parking. So I had a plenty of opportunities to talk to people, right? Anyway, so one day I go up this girl and I start talking to her and she goes, "Do I know you?" I don't think so. But I thought I'd say something, because there's a big sign up there that says, "If you see something, say something." Yeah. You know, and no matter where you go, you know, because of our security problems around, it says, "If you see something, say something." So, I mean, it's amazing, but that's just a joke. But, it's pretty blatant, right? There's a sign up there that says, "If you see something, say something." But all of us have an opportunity to do that, especially in a workplace. Right? And I have a unique situation because I have a captured audience every day, taking people around personally. Yeah, it's a tough one, but somebody's got to do it. Anyway, thanks.
You know, John, come here for a minute, bro. Come here. You know, guys, how many of us know Ernest? You guys remember Ernest, who's moved back to Boston? Ernest came here because John talked to him one day, was driving. John drives BMWs around, if you guys don't know that. He's suffering for Jesus. And he got in Ernest, driving Ernest somewhere one day, and they just got talking. Ernest said to you, right, "Hey, are you a Christian?" Because Ernest saw something. And Ernest ended up coming to church here, and we're still in touch. He's back, and they moved back to Boston area, but we're still in touch. He loves River Valley. And there may be something down the road where the Lord is opening up a door with Brother Ernest. Right from here in Farmington. And I tell you what, this guy right here, many, many people have come to this church because John's like, just like Olga Sharon, just get that little 30 seconds of bravery, right? 30 seconds of bravery. What's the worst they're going to tell you? "I don't hear about Jesus." Oh, no problem.
Just,
no worries.
You just look for an open door, a crack. And you know, the enemy acts the same way. When you open up a crack to the enemy,
that's right.
Come in like a flood.
Yeah.
Right? But when God opens up a door,
That's right. So guys, one last scripture, just to encourage you. Jesus, when he's sending his disciples out, he tells them to go to these towns and find a home. And you know what he says? If the home is worthy of your blessing, then leave it. And if it's not worthy, he says, take your blessing back, shake the dust off your feet, and keep moving. Because you will find a home that is worthy, that wants to hear. And what happens to us, myself included, like I love how, you must have said that 100 times today. Me too, right? Church, I've done it. You get brave enough to say something and like, I don't want to hear about this. And we're like, oh, sorry. And then it's 6 months before we even think about doing it again. But just like, I didn't catch any fish today. I'm going fishing tomorrow. Amen. Right? So Pastor Alan Karen, can you guys come up? Elder Mo, Chris, Gail, I think Wandy. And you know what, Doreen? I want you to come on up here too. We're going to pray for Olga. I just really felt because you now have a family. And we talked a little bit at my house the other day. Just really felt to pray over you because we know that babies are in your heart. And you look 25, but you're of the age where, you know, we just want to bless your womb. Amen. So, hi, baby girl. So come on over, everybody. Just lay hands on her. Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for Olga. We've had other preachers come and we kind of know what's going to happen, but I just love you said there's no pattern with Olga. One year it's like we're all a mess on the floor. One year we're like, all right, that's just like a little how-to.